Just a minute after 4 o'clock, and you are listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, worldwide at kpfk.org. So once again, time for Melting Pot, with a slightly different theme song today. Big thanks to Danny Holloway for the hookup on this one, on his own Jimeno record label, reissue of Underground Vegetables out of Jamaica doing Melting Pot. Got a lot going on in today's show. Nick Waterhouse is going to be our guest a little bit later on. And until then, I'm going to play you some music. He'll have a whole guest DJ set in the second hour. This is in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. SNCC Singers and Woke Up This Morning with My Mind on Freedom on KPFK and Melting Pot.
I woke up this morning when the man
said I'm free.
Ah! really need is that old, old time. Your back on your friend, oh, but I really need that old time, yeah. I know there are times when I might neglect you, baby. I would want you to come on, oh, I would want you to come on, yeah. And the only thing I want you to do, give me that old, oh,
keep on looking. I need someone to walk.
Music from Booker Little in the background, from a reissue of his final record, which was originally titled Booker Little and Friend on the Bethlehem record label in 1961. This one is entitled Victory and Sorrow, which in some ways seems to fit a bit more, and that's the title track for this one. That original is hard to find, real hard to find, at least in a solid copy, but this one you can find pretty readily. Ahead of this, you heard music from Ronnie Spector and the Ronettes, their song Walking in the Rain. Ronnie Spector is actually in town tomorrow, playing over at the Roxy and doing her one-woman show, kind of her whole life story. It's called Beyond the Beehive, and I have tickets for that, which I'm going to give away in just a moment. Also want to let you know, I played a couple songs in tribute to Bobby Womack and also to Teenie Hodges, a couple of legendary soul men who passed away recently. Bobby Womack, much better known, though, with so many connections to a lot of different artists over the years, just recently passing away. And then Teenie Hodges, part of that Memphis soul sound, backed up Al Green and Syl Johnson and Ann Peebles and basically everybody on the High record label. Most recently backed up Cat Power on her record The Greatest, and was just a true original, kind of an unsung hero of soul music, but somebody definitely need to hear about. He was playing the guitar on that track from Al Green, Old Time Lovin'. We also had music from the SNCC Freedom Singers. Woke up this morning with Freedom on My Mind in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. And so I'll leave Booker in the background for Forward Flight and also let you know, again, I have tickets to give away for Miss Ronnie Spector. She is in town tomorrow, Monday, June 30th, last day of June, performing over at the Roxy, and it is for her one-woman show Beyond the Beehive, basically Ronnie Spector's life story. And, you know, especially in thinking about all these legends that we are losing at this period in time, it's really, really a fortunate and blessed thing to have a true legend here in town. And so very thankful to give away these tickets and really looking forward to the show tomorrow. Once again, Ronnie Spector, Beyond the Beehive at the Roxy. If you'd like to go, courtesy of KPFK and Melting Pot, call me now, 818-985-5735. That's the number here, 818-985-5735, for tickets to see Ronnie Spector and Beyond the Beehive at the Roxy. Going to start off this next set with the flip side of that record that I began the show off with from Danny Holloway's record label, Hymenal Records, basically a reissue label, putting out stuff on all vinyl. And I should also let you know, just to make sure that you know, a little bit later on, about the last 20 minutes or so of this hour, we're going to be talking with Nick Waterhouse, and then we have a guest DJ set from him coming up at the top of the hour. But first, here is music from another DJ here local to us in these LA parts, Mr. Danny Holloway, putting out this record on his Hymenal Records. Grace Jackson, the name of the artist, something originally cut in Jamaica, and Gonna Get You is the name of this song you're going to hear right now on KPFK and Melting Pot. We'll be right back.
siempre tristezas donde nunca hubo rencor. Cántale a la vida, desecha el dolor. Quiéreme solo a mí. Tengo tu cariño que me inspira. Siempre tristeza donde nunca hubo rencor. Cántale a la vida, desecha el dolor. Quiéreme solo a mí. Tengo tu cariño.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Melting Pot. In the last set, at the end of it, kind of haphazardly thrown in, I have to admit, but you know, these all vinyl shows at the end of the month try and keep it freeform, so that happens occasionally. You heard the group Death from the original EP, the reissue of it at least, that Drag City put out in 2009, For the Whole World to See, and Keep on Knockin' was the name of the song from the Hackney Brothers. They are actually in town performing on July 3rd over at the Roxy, and we have tickets to give away for those, but we've actually thrown them up online. They're on our website, meltingpotblog.com. You got until Tuesday to send me an email if you want to get in on tickets to see Death over at the Roxy on July 3rd, just so you know. Also in the set, brand new music, which we don't generally get to play too much of here at the end of the month, all on vinyl, but brand new 45 from a group with some roots here in LA, but also in the UK and Paris. They're called the Beta Club, kind of strung together by a variety of people out of the UK, mostly DJs, but DJs who are musicians as well. Paris DJs Collected is also connected to this, as is some members of Jungle Fire from here in Los Angeles. That was the song Freak Beat, what's labeled the Cinematic Mix, though both tracks, that and Brassanova, are fairly sinisterly cinematic from the Beta Club. Hopefully we'll get more from them, but you'll hear that quite a lot. Also had music from Los Taínos out of Cuba on the Arieto record label. It's a self-titled album from maybe 1974 or 5, somewhere around there. The Cubans weren't always very good about telling us the dates, but it's a really nice one. That track, Amor Mio, from Los Taínos, is something you can find on the Si Para Usted collection if you have trouble tracking down the original record. And then started the set off with Grace Jackson, Gonna Get You, the name of the song. Some Afro reggae out of Nigeria, actually. The flip side, Underground Vegetables, that you heard with the title track Melting Pot, is out of Jamaica. That song, Gonna Get You, though, I believe is a Jamaican song originally. But great music, reissued by Danny Holloway on his Himeno Records, so that the rest of us can find those sounds. In the background is music from Kino Duke, from his record Contemporaries, or actually I should say his group Contemporaries, George Coleman, Frank Strozier, Harold Mayburn, and Leslie Atkins. Kino Duke on the drums. Sense of Value is the name of the record. And Too Late, Fall Back, Baby, is the name of the track, and thanks to KPFK's Mark Maxwell for hooking me up with that, a record I've been looking for years and years and years and years on the Strata East record label, which is a tough thing to track down these days. Somebody who was a little tough to track down, but I'm very thankful that he's here, and he's certainly, when he DJs, plays a lot of records that are a little tough to track down as well, is Mr. Nick Waterhouse, who is in our studios. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing good. Doing pretty, pretty good.
It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles today.
We have been spoiled this summer, you know? A lot of people, at least in L.A., like they don't, I mean, they call it June gloom. I don't know. I'm from the South originally, and for us, June, July, August is 90 plus degrees and 90% humidity and raining and thunder and lightning all the time. So I'll take this. This is nice.
I'm fine with it. I had a nice cruise down Cahuenga to get in here right now. So yeah, I'm looking forward to spending a bit later too. You know,
that's cool. So you are here with us. Going to spin records over the second hour of the program at 5 o'clock. But I wanted to spend a little time talking to you and talking about this new record and talking about your music and both how you came into playing the music and also to spinning the music, because it seems like there may be a kind of parallel story between the two.
Sure, the origin story.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of origin stories, and so that's one of the places maybe to start. I know that especially in thinking about some of the sounds that you're associated with and kind of how you cut your teeth, with records and as a DJ, that some of that I believe had to do with you being up in the Bay Area in San Francisco at a particular store that's up there called Rookie Ricardo's. Is that the case?
Yeah, definitely. I've talked about this before, but you know, when I was in high school, towards the end, I had gotten into seeking out 45s and a lot of R&B and soul 45s, and Rookies was on my list, like when I was visiting the city to go to college. Mm-hmm. And I still remember the day I walked in. He was playing like the new Mabel John compilation that had been released that week or something, and we struck up a conversation, and I was like, all right, I'll be back. And little did I realize I was going to spend maybe 8 years of my life there, if not daily, then weekly. And at the same time, there was this really vibrant kind of underground DJ scene that was going on at a bunch of clubs across the city. It kind of was a time period where there was a cultural variety of young folks that maybe, I don't see it as much now when I go up and visit. I think of it as like between the bubbles, you know. It was a little cheaper and wilder and woolier. So there was a ton of stuff for me to sneak into and get a fake ID to go out dancing, to suddenly be surrounded by people who were into a lot of the sounds that I was already really keen on. And Dick exposed me to a lot, as well as a lot of those other DJs.
Yeah, and Rookie Ricardo's is a particularly good store for 45s, and I think a lot of the music that I associate with you, both when you spin and the kind of music that you play as a musician, is kind of this, you know, it's what R&B really should be thought of in some respects, because the title R&B these days has some very different connotations. But a lot of it is rhythm and blues. It's kind of grittier soul kind of music, stuff that is pretty tough to find, and certainly has a very, very particular sound. What was it that really drew you to that sound, do you think?
I think the grittiness is something that, you know, you bring up. That really hit me. I remember going further back when I was like 14 or 15, I was investigating a lot of the blues and soul that my mom had like passed down to me. Mm-hmm. And seeing overlaps with a lot of like the rock and roll history that I was already aware of as a kid. And it was like, well, the Stones really like Don Covey. What does that guy got, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never ended up being a maniac really for any particular, I didn't have like a Beatles thing, or, you know, I didn't go through that. Instead, it was just kind of that, like, that depth of like just visceral rhythmic movement that I really was into in a lot of those records. And, you know, you can try and intellectualize it all you want, but I was always like, I connected, something really resonated with me in that sense. And it seemed a lot more moving than a lot of the other stuff that I was being exposed to as a kid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And were you playing music back then, or becoming a musician and actually starting to play this music and write songs in this style? Did that come later?
Yeah, I was a musician. I mean, I started playing guitar when I was about 12 or 13, and I just began to realize, like, I didn't want to shred, and I didn't want to have a lot of guitar pedals, because that seemed really complicated.
Yeah.
And it's super bizarre, but it's like, you get this weird John Lee Hooker, like, bug when you're 5 years old, and then when you pick up a guitar, like, all you want to do is be a good rhythmic player, you know? And I just heard that. And I think that that's always been a trick, too. I've had these conversations with, like, other DJs and, like, Dick, who runs the shop. I think I also listened as a musician, but I can split myself evenly between, like, the record listener and then the musician, because some musicians just think in terms of, like, technique and finding little tricks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I kind of ended up hitting on like a very sweet spot. And what's funny is, like, it was a long time before I heard anybody else talk about it the same way, but there are two people that I've had this conversation with. One is a peer of mine that's my age, and he's in a band that I really like a lot. And the other was reading Keith Richards' book, like, when it came out last year. I was like, that's how I felt when I was 15. You know, yeah. Like, you get really intoxicated just by this kind of, like, weaving feel to stuff, you know, and you want to do it. And I guess I didn't really want to be in a punk band, so that was.
in some ways, playing this music is like the punkest thing that you could do.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, what is punk rock really? It's I mean, like, it's kind of it's like when you read all these essays around Ralph Ellison's time about like black culture being the most existential because it, you know, like you exist outside of mainstream society, you know. To me, that's like R&B was born out of that background, you know, having its own set of everything. Like, yeah, it had to function within its own community when it was being born. Of course, it like permutates in a different way, the same way jazz did, by crossing paths with a bunch of other things. But I don't know, that to me there were a lot of empty gestures in a suburban rock and roll, you know?
When you were talking about this kind of your approach being connected to almost kind of like this, I think you talked about it as like the split between the way you hear things as a musician and the way that you hear things as a DJ. With these kinds of sounds, you know, these are sounds from a relatively specific period of time. They're very kind of, you know, focused in a very particular way. And when I think about other collectors or other DJs who also play older sounds, like the, you know, all the guys who are associated with the Daptone record label, mm-hmm, and kind of associated family, like those kinds of people, they really seem to really focus, like, how things sound is extremely important to them. Mm. It's not enough simply to play the songs that were recorded back then or to play them in a particular style, but the sound of them, mm-hmm, seems really important. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could talk a bit about, you know, the importance of not just having this style or playing this style, but also the importance of getting the sound the way you want it.
Well, I'll say this, and, you know, like, I kind of have to exist in this like postmodern way that people, mm-hmm, listen to stuff.
Yeah.
I've met several of the, like, some of the acts that you're talking about, and I kind of think of everything that people like them and I are doing is like, it's like painters, you know. They're like, when abstract expressionism was occurring, everybody wasn't sitting around trying to paint the same thing. It's just they happen to be grouped together because somebody outside like sees a thread running through something. And everybody's kind of in their own little camp, like focusing on really honing their craft for their own reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think my work personally comes from a lot more personal place of like the emotional geography of my mind.
Mm.
And I don't know enough about like everybody else who makes quote unquote like retro sounding records or whatever. Like, I just got really switched on about learning techniques from all these things that influenced me that were also contemporary. Like, part of the reason I ended up where I'm at is that I went into the Distillery, which is a studio that I made my first album Time's All Gone at. And like, I went in there when I was 15, and it's an all analog place, and it's a very specific sounding place.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from Mike McHugh, the engineer there, and worked with him very closely, like on the record and on the A La La's record I worked on as well. And that, I think, is equally as important as any record that I heard that's from 1962 or something.
Mm.
And what I always approached it as was this bigger thing, like this very like fractured kind of like melting pot attitude towards it. Like, it's a spirit of the thing. Like, I was never too concerned with like, does this drum tone sound enough like Chess 1955?
Yeah, gotcha.
It was more like, okay, these records that I liked, I know that they had 3 tube condensers and not a lot of space, and they recorded it in a converted garage. Great. Let's try to find a converted garage and set up a couple condensers and then figure it out. It's like a sandbox. You just play around until you get what you actually like. And on the way there, you end up becoming something else, because otherwise you're not doing it for any good reason. You know, like, there's got to be a statement behind, you know, it's like, is it saying anything?
Hmm. And thinking about, especially the choices of songs between now these two records, I was trying to think exactly when Time's All Gone came out.
That was 2012.
A couple years ago. So 2012, now this record in 2014. Not a whole lot of time between the two records, which is always nice for us. We always want our music as quickly as we can get
it. So do I, man. So do I.
But how do you make, I mean, a lot of the tracks on both of these records are songs that you've written or that you've written with a partner or somebody else. There are a few that are covers, but very few covers. And so I was wondering the songwriting process, because it's not, as you were saying a moment ago, it's not that you take this like really hardcore purist kind of angle where everything has to be exactly the way that it was. But writing songs as opposed to just performing these songs from the past, would seem to be like a bit of a different process. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Mm. Well, I guess that's where it gets really personal, because I think that I have a process that is unique to my situation. I mean, the thing with Time's All Gone was, it's like, we could take, for example, like Someplace, which is basically the song that like launched my career. So I wrote that tune because I had bought an electric piano. And I had some figure I was fooling around on for a while. And then one day I started scribbling some lyrics. And then that kind of just was like a rock in my shoe. And I remember like finally crystallizing it on the bus, like when I was riding from work, from one job to another in San Francisco. When I got home, I just kind of like banged the whole thing out on the piano. And I was like, great, I got this song. I remember playing it for like my buddy Kyle, who ended up playing drums when he was visiting in San Francisco. And a few months later, I was just down south and I was hanging out at the distillery at the studio, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna do like I'll just cut this, we can do it. And I called Kyle and two other friends and we cut it in a day. And to me it was that spontaneity and it's not being sentimental, but it's like the meaning that's in those people that I've surrounded myself with, the place that I know so well, the place and the technique, you know. It's like, I don't wear this vintage button-down shirt because I'm trying to dress up for a movie part. So, like, eventually I get so comfortable in it, I don't carry myself stiffly. Mm. You know, eventually it gets frayed around the edges. Like, eventually it just looks like part of my wardrobe, and then people know, they're like, oh, that's Nick, you know?
Yeah.
So, to me, doing that, I was making that record as a 45. Like, I was like, great, I need one song for a 45. Better cut a flip. Let's do an instrumental, you know? It wasn't like I had this great intent to it, you know? Like, I just, and I figured out that maybe that's something that I have on other people. Like, my mind just goes that way. Like, there's never been a time where I do things with such, I'm not so self-aware about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So writing songs kind of went like that. Most of the first record was like that. And then, like, any other follow-up, or once a musician starts working, like a lot of Holly, those tunes were worked on like while I was on the road. I remember like Sleeping Pills I wrote in one morning, like at an ex-girlfriend's house. I didn't even know what the arrangement was going to be for months. And it's this kind of thing where I tend to have like a big abstract idea and then whittle it away until it's time to record it.
Was there much of a difference going into the studio for the second record? You know, the whole thing is, you know, with your debut, you have your whole life in some ways to write your debut, but the second record, you know, is a different story. But it seems like from the way that you were talking about it, that because of the kind of freedom and spontaneity that came in with the first record, it seems like that came over a bit to the second record. Was that the case?
Oh, yeah, that's my approach, because, you know, I think people run the wheels off if you start overthinking things.
Yeah.
I definitely cut some of these songs that are on the second record once, and it wasn't working, you know, like whether it was with the players or it was where I cut it. But I just knew that, you know, like I wanted to be a producer also, besides just being an artist and a singer-songwriter, whatever it is. So I think I also have that mentality of knowing how to throw away a session if it's not working, you know, or stop or discard an idea right away. Because from the beginning, for better or for worse, I set myself up to be this, like, not only a band leader, not only an arranger, not only a producer. Like, I just couldn't help myself because I had ideas about how everything was going to go. Mm. And whether that's purist or like whatever, I don't know what that is. I think anybody that's making art goes a little crazy sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that is probably the case. Okay, so trying to keep track of everything here as we start to run out of time in this first hour. I do want to just double check with you. We were kind of chatting about it off air, but I wanted to make sure that we mentioned, because we talked earlier here in the show, I gave away tickets for Ronnie Spector, who's in town playing at the Roxy. But you're also going to be playing a show with her pretty soon.
That's right. On Tuesday in Santa Ana at the Observatory, there is the Burger Review, Burger Records of Fullerton, California, my friends and compatriots of independent music purveying. It's me, Ronnie, King Khan and the Shrines, and the OCs, and a bunch of other bands on Burger that are starting out the day playing through the afternoon. But I think I'm on at 9:30. I have been working something out behind the scenes. I'm going to get to actually play with Miss Spector.
That's pretty cool.
Which is, yeah, a dream of mine.
So, once again, that's on Tuesday.
That's on Tuesday.
Tuesday in Santa Ana.
Yes.
Okay. They're also doing some big soiree in Oakland, I think, too.
Yeah, they are. I can't make it up for that one, but I think they're traveling. Yeah. Those Burger guys can't stop.
That's a good thing. And you know, it's also a good thing. It seems like you can't stop with this music either. Putting out two records in less than 2 years. We've had quite a bit of music. Why don't we go out with something from Holly? I believe we have Sleeping Pills queued up here on the turntable. So we're going to play you music right now from Nick Waterhouse from his latest release on Innovative Leisure. And then we're going to come back after this in a couple messages for a guest DJ set from Nick Waterhouse for the second hour. Here right now is music from Nick's album Holly. The song is Sleeping Pills from Nick Waterhouse here on KPFK and Melting Pot. Tune in to Melting Pot this Sunday on KPFK as we welcome Mr. Nick Waterhouse as our guest. We'll spend a little time talking about his music, including his latest release, Holly. And in the second hour, he'll spin an all-vinyl set of raw rhythm and blues and soul.
It's not that I'm gone, nor I've been hiding. Just all alone, I've been hiding.
Nick Waterhouse is our guest this week on Melting Pot. Heard every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. on KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and worldwide at kpfk.org.
I'm Gregorio Luke, and want to invite you to a multimedia presentation on Pablo Neruda, the People's Poet, Saturday, July 12th at 7 p.m. here at KPFK Studios. We will also feature live music with Sajama, and Ángela Roa.
Yo no sé lo que pase, oh. No hay bola de.
And serve exquisite Latin American food. For tickets, call 818-985-2711 or visit kpfk.org. All proceeds to benefit KPFK. Pablo Neruda, the People's Poet.